Good morning, everybody. My name is Serdar Atav. I'd like to acknowledge my co-presenter, Nasim Sabuncu, and our graduate assistant, Fatima Irshaidat. We're going to talk about something related to actually Paul's talk. We wanted to see what expansion of Medicaid in expanding states did to socioeconomically disadvantaged women's use of preventative services. And we wanted to demonstrate to you today how a novel system dynamics model approach can be used to achieve this goal. So what we want to do is to assess the complex interactions of factors that affect utilization of preventative services by socially disadvantaged women, and we wanted to show you also how our approach can be used to simulate the effect of specific national policies as well as local programs in rural areas on the utilization of preventative services by socially disadvantaged women. This whole study came about because of initially my interest of studying, as I said, not expanding Medicaid in the southern states does to socially disadvantaged women. So I am a political scientist teaching in a school of nursing, and Nasim Sabuncu, my co-author, is in systems engineering. So we came together and started working together to model disadvantaged women's utilization of preventative services such as pap smears and mammographies. We had Nasim in the team, me and our graduate students from systems engineering. I want to just review, this is most probably very unnecessary for this group of people, but one of the most significant aspects of the Affordable Care Act is to make cancer screenings available and affordable, particularly for women. According to the Centers for Disease Control, cancer ranks second highest in the cause of deaths in the United States, and the total number of deaths go up to 584,000 people. Deaths per 100,000 population is 185. And number of adults who have ever been diagnosed with cancer in the United States is 20 million. And even though when you look at statistics, men are more likely to end up with cancer, there is another layer that's usually ignored. Women's risks increase significantly when you layer the data by poverty. So when you look at women's poverty levels at any age group, they are significantly higher than men in poverty, in terms of poverty, and we know that socioeconomic status and health risks are very closely related. So research shows that screenings for cervical and colorectal cancers help prevent these diseases by finding precancerous lesions so they can be treated before they become cancerous. And screening for cervical, colorectal, and breast cancers also find these diseases at an early stage when treatment works the best. There are many, many barriers to overcome in this sort of preventative effort, and I want to review these with you because we try to incorporate these into our model. A main reason behind differences in mammography screening rates in the United States, the most fundamental reason, is health insurance. Women who don't have health insurance are much less likely to get mammograms than women with health insurance. In 2010, only 32% of women ages 40 and older with no health insurance had a mammogram within the past 2 years. And it was 71% for those with insurance. So there are some other barriers: low income, lack of access to care, lack of usual healthcare provider, lack of recommendations from a provider to get mammography screenings, lack of awareness of cancer risks and screening methods, and cultural and language differences. This was a graph that we found by chance in the literature. Even though we are saying insurance is a very important predictor of breast cancer screenings, as you can see in this graph, Medicaid recipients have shorter survival rates upon diagnosis than even women who have no insurance. And this sort of demonstrated to us that there are indeed barriers for women, even when they have insurance, when they have Medicaid, and that's a worthwhile area to study. And a number of these barriers were addressed through the Medicaid expansion of the Affordable Care Act. We decided to use our upstate New York area in Broome County, where Medicaid was already expanded, to pilot our project. The next phase, hopefully, especially after I had the talks with my colleagues here, will take place in one of the southern states, like Texas, where Medicaid has not expanded. Our access to data has been extremely painful, and that's why we were not able to come here with a complete study. When I see the effort in Texas, I can tell you that's the kind of initiative we need in New York. New York is usually good with data, but believe me, we could not get the public health department or any of the social service agencies to give us just one number. What is the percent of female Medicaid enrollees that use preventative services? Percents, and they just need one, and that is basically impossible to get. Just to put our study into a little bit more perspective, you can see that in the lower bar, with Affordable Care Act and Medicaid expansion, you see this big jump in the number of enrollees in Medicaid. But look at, during the same time, what's happening to primary care visits by Medicaid enrollees. During the same time in Broome County, they are actually going down. You would expect the patterns to go together, but they are not going to go together. So it means that something is happening that is that we don't quite know. So within this framework, we started modeling the use of preventative services for female Medicaid enrollees in Broome County of New York State. We use serial aggregate data, expert opinions, data from focus groups, that's yet to come, and we used Vensim software in our simulation runs. The technical part of this study will be given to you by my colleague Nasim Sabuncu.
Thank you, Serdar. I want to review our methodology that we used. Basically, we're using a system dynamics modeling approach for this study, and there are three major phases that we go through. Starting from the top, we go through the conceptual modeling phase, and this is where we visualize the causal links and our hypothesis into how these the whole barriers to primary access to primary care for this group of population is mapped. And then at the next phase, we take that qualitative model and we define the mathematical equations and we simulate the model. So the second phase is a very detailed quantitative model, and this is where we do some calibration and sensitivity analysis to fit with the historical trends that we, to some extent, have found. At the latter, the final stage, we use that simulation model to basically do some policy testing so we can run what-if scenarios. And since our model has already replicating the trends, it would show us if we change such and such parameter, or we change we implement such and such policy or program, how would it affect the final health outcomes or quality outcomes? And then, so this is a very simplified version of the qualitative stages. So this is the conceptual model. And as you see, we have some major factors defined, and we draw the links, which these are causal links, and define how one variable affects the other one through positive or negative links. And then these all form together some feedback structure. So as you see, like the one that we've highlighted here, this is one feedback loop that is trying to basically visualize our hypothesis that we say as access to primary care increases, then there are more screening rates for this group of Medicaid population, the female population, and so better diagnosis and timely treatment, and eventually so basically leading to healthier women. And as women are in a healthier status, they're going to continue with their routine and primary care. So this is basically at the conceptual level. And we start moving to the second stage that we're simulate. We start to simulate the model, and this is the full-blown version of the model. And of course, it's big, and we just wanted to show a snapshot here and to give an idea of how it looks like. And there are, behind this, there are equations, mathematical equations defined. And I'm going to show a subsection of the model. So this is the part that shows how this group of socioeconomically disadvantaged women, they start from the uninsured, so they basically are uninsured. And after, we're trying to model how, after especially the Medicaid expansion, how they flow through the system and seek primary care services. And so they go through, they become qualified after the expansion, a larger group, and then they enroll in Medicaid, and they have to overcome certain barriers to seeking preventative care, and eventually end up going to the primary care providers. And but then some do not necessarily conform to the recommendations. They flow back, or they just basically drop out. But a portion of them continue using the preventative services, and they become permanent users of primary care services. So this is just giving an idea of how we're capturing that and how we're looking at the different barriers to access to primary care, as Sardar outlined in the initial slides. And the results. This is some initial results, and this is a work in progress. So this is how it looks like right now. We've done some calibrations, and this is comparing the simulation result from our model of the total Medicaid enrollees and how it compares to the historical trend, which is the red line, and Sardar showed this earlier. So it's sort of, to some extent, it replicates, but there's some gap, and we have to better refine this model and basically get to a better model. And so once we have this model, and it is, we have this simulation model, of course we can do tests with it. We can define different policy scenarios and see how our model could show the results, for example, with the Medicaid expansion, what are the future trends look like, and but if not, if it doesn't expand or other barriers are existing, would that affect the final health outcomes or access to primary care? And other scenarios, such as increasing the number of providers, and this is just a demonstration. So, for example, if we have the preventative health campaigns, the red variable there, and we add that to the model, so we run a scenario, and this is what it would look like, for example, and this is a hypothetical community breast cancer screening program the numbers of Medicaid enrollees getting screened is increasing over time. And so in conclusion, our system dynamics modeling approach is a powerful tool for program evaluators and policymakers, which can enables them basically to do future predictions and behavior, and it includes a complex set of factors at both individual and community levels, and it's a more comprehensive approach comparing to other regression-based methodologies. And of course, this was a pilot study. We demonstrated how our interdisciplinary collaboration between engineering and health policy could lead to some novel results and insights. Okay, thank you.